Well, good morning. Maybe we can start with a word of prayer. Lord, as we come to you this morning, thank you for another day that you've blessed us with. Thank you that we can be here together in your house and just pray that you would guide and direct us. Pray that you would help me to speak what you have to share, and pray that you would just bless the service here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about something that's been I've been having to work on in my life lately, and that is attitude. Been contemplating my response to others and their attitudes toward them, and maybe we don't even always act out. I know more often than not it happens to me, I don't have act out in anger. But I have that inside of me, and really doesn't work very well. I guess lately, specific example, I've been having someone at the workplace that has a bad attitude, and I have a bad attitude towards them. And it's been coming to my attention that it doesn't work well when both of us have. And I had to think about something that came up in our small group. Just because someone else sinned first doesn't justify our sin. And I think the same goes for our responses and our attitudes. Just because someone else has a bad attitude doesn't make it right for us to have the bad attitude towards them. This morning, I'm going to look at some scriptures. We're going to start out looking in Jonah as him an example. I think we can learn a lot from him in this area, at least I can. So I'm going to read, actually the last part of the book of Jonah. It's not super long. So we'll start Jonah chapter 3, and we're also going to read Jonah chapter 4. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went out unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into a city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even unto the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him in sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast nor herd nor flock taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee from evil. Therefore now, O Lord, I beseech thee, take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, Doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city, and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord prepared a gourd, that it might come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm, When the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. Then God said to Jonah, Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for that which thou hast not labored, neither madst it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein there are more than 60,000 people that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? I think, at least for me, sometimes we can all relate to this story pretty well. And we see Jonah's response isn't exactly a great one. It says it displeased him very exceedingly. He was very angry. And he wished he would die. In verse 3. And we may not always go to that extent, but sometimes we might, in our minds, we might not wish we were dead, but we might be pretty angry. Just as Jonah here. But God showed him, and I believe he can show each one of us if we're willing to listen and acknowledge where we're not right. And in the end, when God spoke to Jonah, he realized his error. But I think each one of us can be in that situation. And it's easy to stay in that situation because none of us really like to admit that we're wrong. At least, I don't always. And the longer that we stay there, the harder it is for us to recognize that and to be willing to make a change. It's not God's design or plan for our lives in the way that we relate to others. So we're going to look at a couple other scriptures here. First one is in 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 5, going to verse 9, it says, Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. It's interesting. In verse 9, it says, Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And I think that can go a lot of ways. But it's not saying in the church, in the brotherhood of Christ, sometimes we have bad responses, even to people in the church, the same that we do outside in the world. And verse 6 says, Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And verse 5, I should have read this first. The last part of the verse says, Yea, all be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. I think there's something there. God, when we're proud, God can't do the work in our lives that he would like to do. Because we resist not only maybe what's in the world, but maybe we even resist him from time to time. So I think it's extremely important that we have a right Great attitude. And I think it's sometimes, as in Jonah's case, it took God, but maybe in our lives it can even take other people. God can use other people to speak into our lives. It can be hard sometimes when we have a bad attitude because we aren't willing to listen. But God can use others as well as himself to look into our lives and to speak in. And I hope that we're willing and able to hear that and not shut them out. In Ephesians chapter 4, we'll turn for our next passage. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 22. It reads that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not, and let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands to the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away with you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I'm pretty sure in verse 31 we could actually add a little bit to this when we read bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. I'm pretty sure we could add attitude in that. By the words that he has written in there, evil speaking, bitterness, that can easily and mostly be your attitude in a lot of cases. Verse 20 says, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath. And I think it's a whole other subject to... We got to come to a place of repentance. Verse 32 needs to be our response, not only to the people in the church, but also to everybody around us, whether it's in town or at work or wherever we go. It says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And if you think of how God has forgiven us, we have absolutely no reason to hold anything against anybody if we think of what he has forgiven us. For the next one, we're going to turn to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 and then 14 through 16. Starting in verse 1, it says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be of you, which is also of Christ Jesus. It says in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And I believe that also, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. When we do that, There can't be any bitterness in our lives to be able to esteem others better than ourselves. And I believe to do that, right, God has to be in our lives, because we can't lift up others in that way on our own, right? Jumping down to verse 14, it says, "Do all things without murmurings nor disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Murmurings and disputings, I think that's back to the exact same as what we have talked about. Paul is urging us to seek out the good and not act out in strife without murmurings and disputings. And verse 16 kind of stuck out to me as I was reading this right here. It says, "That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." I think often, even maybe if we proclaim we're Christians to the world and try and point them in the right directions, but we have bad attitudes or anger in our lives, I don't think it's going to go near as far as if. I think they're going to see that, and that's going to affect the way they see our testimony. Next one is James chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 19 and read into the end of the chapter. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. For be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man holding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way straightway, and forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the words, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father, is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." It's interesting, it calls us to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That's not easy, said and done, at least the speaking part, sometimes, for me. And sometimes, especially when we're hearing things that maybe we don't like, or maybe our flesh likes to hear because it's tearing down somebody or what have you, it can be very, very easy for us to just run with it and be like, "Well, yeah, that person really is the way they are, and they kind of deserve what they got coming for them." And it can be a hard thing to do, to lay that aside. Verse 20 says, "In pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted for the world." It can be some hard stuff to live out sometimes, but I think it's extremely, extremely important to be careful where we let our minds run with things, and to where we let it dwell. And it can be hard to do that. Psalms 55:22 says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." And that's exactly what God calls us to do when we find ourselves in that spot, is to cast everything on him. When we let him have our lives and our problems, it's amazing what he can do. And I found that in my life recently, as I've been struggling with this, I've been praying about it and stuff. It's amazing the difference it can make to find. It doesn't change their attitude one bit. And it still makes it hard to relate to them. But it's interesting the difference it makes in your life. Even though they may be hard to get along with, you can still carry the joy of the Lord right with you. And doesn't mean you have to be their best friend, necessarily. But doesn't mean that you're their enemy either. And working against them and bad-talking them and whatever else. All of that can mean for each one of us. So, the last passage of scripture we're going to read is Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to the end of the chapter. This gives us a kind of an overview of how we're supposed to be living and a response to the world around us and all of that. So starting in verse 5, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, and bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to the men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Just reading over this, this doesn't leave much area for hate and discontent in our lives. And I think it's important that we live this. And I don't really think it's possible, honestly, to live this way without Christ in our lives. I honestly, at least I don't think it'd be possible for me. And so I think it's important that we recognize and think about where we're at with our response to the world, people around us, and the attitudes that we may have against people, and how we're representing Christ. So, something that I've been having to work on, and hopefully it's something that you can take along as well. Thank you.